This podcast is brought to you by the Institute for Building Technology and Safety, IBTS, a national nonprofit organization and trusted partner to public nonprofit and private clients. IBTS's work is guided by a board of directors with representatives from the Council of State Governments, the International City County Management Association, the National Association of Counties, the National Governors Association, and the National League of Cities. Thanks for tuning in. This is On Further Inspection with IBTS. I'm your host, Gabby Geraci, and today we're taking a special deep dive into the life story of IBTS, which was founded by two best friends, Shyam Chowdhury and Ashok Goswami. Visionaries with adventurous spirits, entrepreneurial mindsets, and a deep sense of servant leadership, they saw the need for a nonprofit that could merge the flexibility of the private sector with the accountability and trust required to provide essential services to governments and communities across the nation. We're honored to have Ashok with us today. As the current president of IBTS, Ashok will share his personal journey and insights into the organization's growth, evolution, and the exciting future ahead. But before we begin, I want to take a moment to remember Shyam. Shyam sadly passed away in 2020. But his spirit and vision remain at the heart of IBTS. His dedication, leadership, and passion continue to inspire everything we do. And now, without further ado, here's today's program.
Thank you so much for joining us this beautiful day. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, and good morning to you. Your smile brings smile to the listeners. So I'm smiling because you are.
Thank you, Ashok. Well, I'd like to have you introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And after that, you can jump right into how IBTS came to be. Tell us about your friendship with Shyam and how this evolved into IBTS.
All right. Well, that is a long question, but something which is closer to my heart. I am Ashok Goswami. I was born and raised in India, a typical boy in a small town. I had I was very good in college, so I got into a select engineering school after doing my undergraduate in engineering and got into a relatively prestigious engineering school.
Wow.
That school also had a policy to have students from different states from India. And it was the policy of Government of India at that time that people need to understand India because it was relatively recently freed from British rule. And they were trying to create future officers for Government of India. And for that, they thought it will be a good thing that people from all 17 states from India are asked to join into those kind of schools so people will understand India and not only on their state. So Mr. Chowdhury was from a state obviously different from ours and many others. And the people who are from the state, which was required to have 40% of the students were from that state and the remaining from what we at that time called outsiders. and we expected outsiders to adopt to our ways rather than us adopting to their ways.
Of course.
And that was our way of introducing ourselves and trying to tell them that they have a place in our college, but they are not there yet. So start learning. That's what the college students did at that time.
Wow.
And somehow, somewhere, without even wanting to, he was one of the person whom I was supposed to tell what are the ways and means of our state. And that is how my first interaction with him started.
Wow.
And that
Fantastic.
Is how it was not a desire to become a friend. He was obviously culturally different. Just I found out after coming to this country how culturally different it is. Same people, same goodness, just wrapped in a different wrapper. So that is how I got to know my friend. And he became a good friend from second year onward because we ended up in the same branch of engineering that was civil engineering.
Wow,
that's where the friendship started.
It's wonderful. And tell us a little bit about that jump to this opportunity of coming to the States.
At the time I was in college, we did not see it as an opportunity. There was no specific desire to come here. It was a happenstance or a coincidence, if I may. I knew very well that if I stayed in India, I will be in a senior position and my life will be fairly comfortable. So there was no reason to think about that, except one of our professors had been to America. He was recently back from there and he more or less asked us to explore. He said, look, guys, you are young, you are not married, you do not have any significant responsibilities. Why don't you go to United States? And as gullible, or you might say smart people we were, we said, why not? And the United States government made it very easy for us. They had a little, what they might call a center set up in our college. All you had to do was give them your information and off you go. No fees, no charges. We signed it up and forgot all about it. What we signed up for.
Oh my goodness.
So it wasn't some big planning. You plan, you strategize, you approach, and you reach your goal. It started with a happenstance and more or less from naivety rather than a serious thought process.
What a good coincidence, I guess, for the rest of us that are now working for IBTS that you chose to come. And tell us a little bit about that transition. So you were working, you'd forgotten about the fact that you applied for for this possibility. And then how did it come back? You know,
Came back. I was in a government job, which was called an officer level job. I had joined that position. I got a call from my father. He said, I have received this letter from American Embassy. What is that? And I said, Dad, I do not know. But then I recalled I signed something. And he said, It is some kind of a immigration visa. What led you to apply for that? And I told him the same thing. I just did that. I had no idea what we were doing. But by that time, at least at that time, the image of America was something like a bright light on the high mountain. You looked up to America, not because it was rich, because it, in our opinion, it set the standards of a democracy, a standard of helping other people and things like that. And also a realization that I don't have any significant obligation. So what difference does it make if I go there? If it doesn't work, I will come back.
Of course. There's no risk involved. It's an adventure.
There was no risk involved. So it wasn't some creative thinker taking risk for its life. It was a happenstance.
Wow, but you had an adventurous spirit. That definitely took courage to get out of your comfort zone that you'd known your whole life.
Well, you can call it that it was adventurous spirit, which sounds very good, and I gladly accept that. But the reality is it was a young person of 23 years old but has no basic responsibility.
Wow.
And say, why not?
Yeah, you were so young. My goodness. Okay. And so the idea was planted that, okay, maybe I'll take this adventure on. And what was the thought process to come here with Sham? Did he have that idea as well?
That was almost a requirement put by our parents. Plus, we were friends. They said, alone, you're not going.
Uh-huh.
So if you're going there, you have somebody. Oh. And I said, okay. So we both went, both were on the same way. Neither of our families were exceptionally thrilled that we were doing that.
Oh, of course.
But they accepted that with a promise that if things do not work out, just come back. It's just okay. Back. And I took a leave of absence from my job. And so what is the big deal? Just come
wow,
back.
Wow, that's great. Yeah,
and,
really.
And
no
that
risk.
Is what he did. And off we came on the same flight to New York. And I still remember watching from the plane, big skyride buildings and say, where are we landing?
That's so exciting.
So that
wow,
is how
so,
both
so
of
exciting.
Us on the same flight ended up in New York City.
You're in New York. You decide to try your luck. Getting employment.
We knew a couple of other college students who were in New York. So we had mm-hmm. their phone number, gave them a call. They told us how to take a cab and come to that place. And off we go. So there were two guys there. Now there were four. So we said, all right. And the first thing they told us, look, engineering jobs are not easy to find out. But for you to find a job, don't tell them that you are an engineer. Try to find a job in an office. Tell them you are a high school graduate and that you need a job.
Okay.
I said, okay.
So you have no college experience, quote unquote.
And I said, why will that be considered bad? They said, well, they are going to conclude that you are here for only a short period of time and they do not want to invest in you. They want the right person for right job. You just tell them that you are a high school graduate. And I said, okay, high school graduate, I definitely am. So I'm not lying. I just said I'm a high school graduate. So let me and Sham to go into various places. We were looking for job and ended up into an employment agency. Both of us went there at the same time. And they gave us some little test to figure it out whether we have basic educational proficiency or not.
No.
And both of us thought that if we do our test quicker, we will get the job, which we did. And the manager and manager there picked us. I said, you two, come into my office. I have never seen somebody high school graduate finish this thing in this period of time. I want to tell me what exactly is going on.
Wow. And you told them.
We told them. And they said, okay, I'll help you actually find
the
real job. And
that's fantastic.
I must say, it is fantastic, not because he wanted to help. I want to emphasize that people sometimes talk about that guardian angel.
Mm-hmm.
I think that person took us both under his wing as a guardian agent, angel for both of us, and helped us get an apartment, helped us change our clothing so that we more amalgamate into American culture.
Wow. Yeah.
And tried to say, okay, I'm going to get you into a job till the engineering job comes in, but I'm going to let them know that you are there temporary. So he placed me into one office and Sham into another office. And so we started in a basic administrative position, but mm-hmm. our employers knew that that is what it is. And that is how the life started.
And did you live together during this time in the city?
We lived, the four of us were together. Okay. We were not in a very good part of New York, which we did not even know that it was not good part. But we got some sense that this is not our imagination of what America was. this is
something this, more.
This is something more or different. So we actually started developing that this may not be the right place for us.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And even though our guardian angel, his name was Ronald Drum. He helped us get into a very nice apartment. He paid the security or vouch for us or whatever.
Wow.
But we
wow.
still.
What a person to.
Guardian angel.
You really,
baby.
Yeah, when you say guardian angel, I mean, he really did go above and beyond. That's beautiful.
Way above and beyond. Not only he did that, he also cautioned us where the dark spots of American culture are, how not to get caught into either drugs or alcohol, what they are, because our culture was very protective. We were mm-hmm. in a cocoon, and here we were just let go like a feather in the wind. So he definitely, my hat's off to him, my gratitude to him, that how he prevented us from falling into off the cliff.
That's incredible. And what year was it that you first stepped foot here in America?
I came to America in 71. In February, very cold.
Which wow, 70s in New York City. Yeah, I can imagine it wasn't.
We had no idea what you can imagine because you were there before. We just landed a few days before and had no idea.
Yeah, that's a culture
what
shock.
Cultural
for sure.
difference
yeah.
and things were. So it was very different.
Mm-hmm.
The interaction between males and females was very different from how we were in India. So it just. Two very different things. It is
very different.
Like going to
when I was an immigrant to this country, I came to Florida. So I felt very natural, very much the same as my Venezuela. So, but yours was completely a black and white situation. So many differences.
Very black and white situation. So, but we were protected because we knew this person. His wife was also kind of took us under her wings. Many weekends we went with them to know what America really is.
Oh, that's
the good
that's
or so bad. Sweet. So they expedited our awareness of this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in spite of that, both of us thought that this is not the country for us. And we ought to take the opportunity and go back to our job.
Really?
Very honestly, and that is what we thought. And he said, well, if you're going to go back, let's go and see some monuments in Washington, D.C. area.
No. Oh, my gosh. I know where this is going. Oh, you have to continue. So you take a trip to Washington, D.C. before supposedly you're going to go back home.
Right. And he said, we will see White House, we will see Congress, we will see this and that. And that is, and another classmate of ours who was in California, he joined us. And so we three of us amigos said, let's go see Washington, D.C.
What? That's crazy.
And, it was to our amazement, we did not know Washington, D.C. was in the midst of starting their metro subway system.
Mm-hmm.
There were construction going on everywhere. And every place they will say a civil engineer, structural engineers needed.
Wow.
You pick, it was like even if your neighbor was an engineer, they might hire you, a kind of a situation.
They so really needed them, yeah.
At that time. So Shyam went into one office and I went to another office and my friend went to a third office. And by that evening, we had a job offer in engineering field.
Oh, my gosh. You can't make this up. What a story.
I cannot make it up because that's what happened. I still remember the first office in Washington, D.C., on Connecticut Avenue and 12th Street, where this office was, and Shyam was somewhere else, and I went, my third friend was somewhere else, and we met in the afternoon and said, I got a job. He said, I got a job. I said, okay, at least this is an engineering job. So now what do we do? We went back, hired a little truck, put our things into that thing, and Washington it is. And we asked them, I think we came here in the middle of the week. We mm-hmm. said, we'll be joining Monday. They said, that's fine. We went there, picked up whatever little things we had, and got a truck rental, which at that time looked as strange that we rented something from New York and returned it here. But whatever it was, we joined a typical engineering job. My first experience started from designing foundations under the buildings for the metro tunnels.
Which are still there.
They are still there. I don't travel on those trains because I know that I designed them. They may not work, but they are there.
That's so funny.
I know when the train goes through a Farragut Square. Oh my God, I hope it does not fall down because I was the one.
You avoid the news just in case.
Kidding aside, I still go into that area and I know where I started my technical career in this building, in this this city. And Sham actually was involved, but his assignment were more near the Union Station, metro area or Union Station itself. And I used to always joke with him, I'm never going to take a train from there. Who knows? You designed it.
No way. But it's incredible, really. And I'm not surprised because this whole story is so awesome to listen to. But you started your first role that you actually loved in the place that you felt most comfortable here in the U.S. and you were building foundations. That's pretty cool.
I started and it is near Farragut Square. I know exactly which section of the railroad was given big buildings, heavy loads, and not a simple structure to design necessarily.
Right.
But interesting. I had a very good mentor who taught me the real life experiences, how the foundation systems underground where a building is already standing is required to be designed and how you span the load across the tunnels. It was interesting.
Of course. And it's a perfect segue for you telling us how the foundations were set for IBTS. So how did you go from working in separate places and doing similar but different work in DC to coming back together and forming IBTS? How did that work?
Once again, life is a string of coincidences. It starts with taking something and you start putting it together, and before you know it becomes a necklace. So it is not something which I would say, okay, I'm going to create a not-for-profit or some IBTS of future. Another friend of mine mentioned to me that, look, if you want to see America, you should take a job where your job requires you to travel. And I said, well, that is interesting. I still had a lingering thing in my mind that I might just go back. It wasn't that I had put my solid roots here. It was nice. It was fun. It was being here. Good, satisfying job. But somebody mentioned to me that a new law has been passed. I have just been hired. And why don't you apply for a job there? And I said, what is the benefit of it? He said, well, it's really not, it is more in manufactured home. I did not know manufactured home from Timbuktu. And I said, well, it's a nice job. It will allow you the opportunity to travel and learn something new. So I applied for that job and they hired me, and then known as National Conference of States on Building Codes and Standards.
Mm-hmm.
They were basically a code coordination type of an organization.
Okay.
And I learned that there is a national program. I learned later that this is the only program which deals with the residential housing, which is national in scope and also preemptive of the local codes and standards. So the opportunity was enormous to create a industry which was in its beginning, to have your knowledge or things and try to bring it to a respectable housing.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, look into how the construction is done, not only on piece of paper, but actually see what happens in the real life, what mm-hmm. happens in the factories, how these products get to there. So it was exciting. So I joined that job and actually found that it was very exciting, not because of its technical proficiency alone, but I learned that designing a manufactured home is as complex or more than designing foundations for a metro system. To somebody, it may look like, what the heck are you talking about? Metro systems are so complex and big. And how can a manufactured home be complex? The reason for that one is that those buildings are square. You have a load, you have a foundation, and that is where you go. This mm-hmm. one is a movable product, which works on a chassis, and it does not have a typical foundation system to manage. So the engineering is more complex, just like it is for planes or other things, that it is an unusual product. So there was real engineering involved into its chassis system and load transfers. But more importantly, and that I learned, then it also gave me an opportunity to learn the science of quality control, or in other words, predictability. How do you make something come out consistently?
Mm-hmm.
And after about a year or so, I asked Shyam, you should also come to this company. It is a nice traveling type of a job. Our basic interest was to see America and on the job. And Shyam also joined in. And that is how we started into what is now a very formidable housing component of America called manufactured home. At that time, they were called mobile homes.
Thank you for joining us for this first part of our Founders podcast series. Don't miss the next episode, where we'll wrap up this Genesis story with Ashok, exploring how IBTS evolved and where we're heading. You've been listening to On Further Inspection with IBTS. Thanks for tuning in.